Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Adventure Girl, explore your world, live it fast, and make it last.
Live from City Center at White Plains, Westchester Talk Radio presents the February edition of Fran's World. This is Jim Cleafield speaking. Fran's World is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelips Painting, Reverso Associates, Wartburg, Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Durante Reynolds, Fixed Rate Power, Hightower Advisors Westchester, Skyline Genesis Event Marketing, and Northeast Environmental. Don't forget, you can download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Westchester Talk. Like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and you can always follow us on Instagram. We are at Shark Creative. And now, the show starring the woman who really loves to talk. She's the world's fastest talking woman. She lives in her world, and we're welcome to it. It's Fran's World with your host, Fran Capo.
Hey, woo! Look at that little baby there clapping. All right. So, Jim, I want to just let everybody know, welcome everybody to Fran's World, and just want to let you know the two latest things that have happened. Valentine's Day. Hope everybody had a fantastic Valentine's Day. I had the best Valentine's Day ever. My wonderful husband, besides buying me roses and taking me to my favorite restaurant, Terrapin, actually bought me this gift that I wanted for the longest time, this adventure, which was called Zero G. That's where they filmed the movie Apollo 13, you know, where the airplane goes up 30,000 feet and then it drops down like a hyperbola. And so for those 30 seconds, you get to like be like an astronaut in space. Hopefully you don't throw up during that time, because it is also called a comet vomit, and hopefully I'm not going to be doing any of that. But you go up, you down, up, down, up, down. So I'm so excited about that. That's not happening till May, so of course I'm going to report to everybody what that's like. Either that, or he really, I'm saying he gave it to me because he really loves me. Either that, he wants to get rid of me, and he paid the pilot, you know, let her loose, you know, and I'll be floating off in space somewhere. And the other thing I want to let you know, you guys all know that I'm a stand-up comic. We have our March Madness all-headliner show coming up at Terramina Restaurant Saturday, March 24th. I'm going to be hosting the show, and I also have Mike Egan, Eddie Gambino, Wally Collins, and it's fantastic food. The doors open at 7 o'clock, and if you want to make reservations, you can call 914-739-4007 or go to Terramina's restaurant in Peekskill, and you could, register, you know, make your reservations there. There's only 80 seats, so it sells out fast. I'm telling you, people, make your reservations. You're only good food, fantastic comics, nothing to you want to miss. Okay, we have a great show lined up for you today, and I am sitting with my first guest, Robert Restro, who went from being a car mechanic to award-winning filmmaker. He's from Westchester County. He's the Westchester County director, writer, and producer, heading up Restro Films Entertainment. He created the horror film called The Brain Hunter, and those of you who are watching live, you could see the video right here. The movie has won 8 awards in the film festivals and Best B Movie in England. His follow-up film, Brain Hunter 2, is a short film, won Best Short Horror Film, and this March, he will start to film a zombie short called Z Dead End. It sounds French. Z Dead End. Starring Emily Angel, Dee Dee Hacksaw. Oh, that's a perfect name for a horror film. Eliza Jane. Please welcome Robert Restro.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon.
Thank you for having me on your show.
I'm so happy you are here. So I got to first say how I met him. We got to give a shout out to Anthony over at AMB Auto,
yeah.
AMB Auto. I went to get my car fixed. I'm talking to him, telling him about the comedy show at Terramina's, and all of a sudden, Robert walks in, and he goes, oh, you know, I'm a film. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? I took my passion. So you took your passion, and you made it a reality, and that's what this show is all about, humor, health, happiness, and making your dreams into reality.
Right.
So how do you go from being a mechanic by day to a filmmaker by night?
Well, I've always dabbled in filmmaking since I was 14. I used to take a video camera, I used to film my friends, I used to put them in situations and make them do crazy things.
Put them in situations.
And I just love horror movies. I love horror movies, sci-fi movies. My grandfather always watched like the old Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff.
Oh, those were great.
I just love horror films. So, you know, then I dabbled in acting. I did some of that. And then I just got into making films. I just said, you know what, I'm going to make my own film.
Right.
Because I love horror films. And I just want to make my own horror films.
So when did you decide that you were going to make this film?
I decided in 2010.
Okay, so 2010. And how did you raise the money for the film?
I funded the first film myself.
Okay.
It was $10,000.
Friends and family help or no?
Just me.
Really?
Yeah.
See, this is a guy who really wants to go after his dreams. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. Go ahead.
So then it took us 2 years to film because we had to film like every other weekend and weekends and nights and hot days and cold days and late hours at night.
And who was in the film? Your friends or you had
no,
actors?
No, I actually casted for the film.
Through agency?
Through Backstage.
Okay.
And I got so many like actors and actresses that applied.
Just for those of you who don't know, Backstage is a magazine and you put ads on there and then people know that they're casting for films.
Right. And I got, you know, unknown people starting out in, you know, acting.
Who wanted credits.
And I had some that bailed on me in the middle of the shoot, so I had to recast.
And now they're sorry, now that the film has won a lot of awards. Yeah, they're going, oh, why did I stick with him?
Who knows?
Okay.
But then
Your mom's agreeing with me. I know she is. Go ahead.
I finally got the cast that stuck by me for 2 years, and we got it done.
So that was the cast that is
in the actual Brain Hunter.
The one that won the awards, right?
Yes.
And so you funded your own film. Did you go to school to learn how to direct?
I went to Visual Arts, the School of Visual Arts, and I took a filmmaking course and a special effects makeup course.
Oh, so you did have some training.
Yes.
Okay.
I went to acting school, too. I went to Lee Strasberg.
Oh, very famous acting school for those people who are not in the field.
I went to Lee Strasberg, and so I know how to deal with actors through dealing, you know, going through the school and doing it myself.
And also through dealing with people on a normal basis, yes. There's a little ego involved. I could say that. I'm in the business.
Yeah. So, you know, I like writing. I write basically fantasy horror films, and I actually went and I filmed my own film.
I gotta tell you something, because I usually don't watch horror films because I don't like to put negative stuff in my mind before I go to bed, and I'm like, I have to watch it because, you know, Robert's gonna be on my show and I have to watch it. I start watching, I go, okay, too scary for nighttime. Okay, I'm gonna have to watch it in the day. So, how did you market the film?
I marketed it myself through online, through Facebook, through, you know, word of mouth, just basically internet.
And so, okay, so now, how did you know how to enter it into the film festivals? I mean, did someone just say enter it in a film festival? Did you research it? What did you do to know how to get it into all these festivals?
Well, now they make it easy to submit your films in a festival. They have a website called Film Free.
Oh, I didn't know that. And Film Free?
Film Free. And you enter it in there, and there's a whole list of different festivals that are out there and categories, and one's geared just for horror and sci-fi.
Okay, so they go by genre.
They do. Some do and some don't. But some, the ones that don't, you can also enter your film in because they just want artsy, creative people to enter their films.
Well, they need
content.
Right.
Yes. So that's what I did. And I just entered into so many festivals, and some I weren't accepted, some I was.
And so name some of the festivals that you won awards from.
Out of the Cannes Film Festival, that's in England. Hudson Valley International Film Festival.
Which is where I'm from. Not from, but where I live.
Right. Los Angeles Horror Competition Festival.
Well, now, think about that, folks. Los Angeles, where they have tons of movies. This guy won a festival. That's pretty cool, with first film out of the shoot.
Snowdance Film Festival is also in Los Angeles. So I've won, you know.
When
I won the first one, I was shocked.
I was just going to ask you, what was your reaction?
When I saw the email, I was shocked. I said, I actually won. I mean, I didn't have, you know, it's a low-budget horror film. I didn't think I was going to win anything, you know.
No, but is it?
But then it kept coming, and then they kept coming, and they kept coming.
And where could people see the movie? Does it, like, play somewhere? Is it only on DVD?
It was on Amazon for downstream, but it's not on Amazon at the moment. But I do have DVDs. I will be having something on Facebook and a website to buy the DVDs.
And so now, why horror? Because your grandfather raised you with that? Or is it just...
He was into horror, and
was he
I
a practical joker?
Oh, he used to dress up like the Hunchback and come down and scare me. And
I'm going to get back at Grandpa. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to make a horror film, and Grandpa, you're going to get killed in the first scene. No, go ahead.
So, I just... you know, back then in the 80s, it was Friday 13, you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
And you figured that you would.
And I just was, you know, I love those horror films. They're great. You know, they're classics. You know? So I want to make my own classic.
You know what? But you're well on the way because you already got this. Now, you have a Brain Hunter 2 teaser.
I have a teaser short film on YouTube. Uh-huh. It's Brain Hunter 2, New Breed.
Okay.
We did a short film. It's 18 minutes. Trying to get investment to do the full feature.
Where are you doing that? Is there a Kickstarter or something that people
We will be putting up a Kickstarter page for that.
You wanna get in on this. The guy already won some awards, and this is when he was doing it without anybody's help. So, you know, you wanna get in on this. Yeah. Now, you told me that you're going to LA to direct. So what exactly are you directing?
I'm going to LA to direct another independent film. It's called Revancha.
Is this your film or somebody else's film?
I wrote it and I'll be directing it, but it's somebody else's film.
So that's why you're going out to LA. I'm co-collaborator
on the film, but I wrote the film.
Now, like we said up front, you're a writer, you're a director.
Right.
Do you act in it?
I don't act my own stuff. I don't.
Okay.
I want to stay on the directing part.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know? Because people respect you more.
Some directors do cameos in their stuff, but
I haven't done it. Maybe I will. Weren't you that dead guy in the ground?
Okay. Yeah. I might do it, but I like to direct. I like to, you know, be the creative part of...
And he said I might be in another film, no pressure.
Oh, definitely. Okay, you could play a zombie if you want.
That's it.
You could be the fastest talking zombie.
No, I think I should play the girl who talks so much that the zombie, zombie. Dies. I think they'll eat your vocal cords first. Yeah, exactly.
Right?
That would be funny. And then people in the audience would be going, good, that's the only way to get her to shut up. So you're doing that. What would you say to young people who want to direct a film, like, what would be your words, you know, to have them follow their dreams? Because you went out there and just did it instead of saying, oh, I hope someone casts me, I hope someone picks up my film. You said, you know what, I'm going to do it. And now, because you've won these awards, it actually gives you a great platform.
Yes. What do I say to young people that want to make films? If that's your passion and that's what you love, go out and do it. Don't hold back. Write. This is what I say: write, direct, create.
I like that.
You know,
and that's you know, which is kind of like in anything that when you have a dream, you know, instead of just talk, which people do. One day I want to do this. What are you waiting for? The one day.
I mean,
you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You grab the day by the kahunas and you just.
Right.
I'm doing it today.
Right.
Okay. I said.
I mean, there's no guarantees.
Yeah. There we go. You know, yeah. That's Matt over there. I'm allowed to say that. I didn't see that on the list of things you're not allowed to say. It's in another language.
I mean, there's no guarantees, you know, when you make a film. I mean, basically, you know, it's on a hope and a dream. But you try the best you can, and you just keep on hitting the pavement and just keep filming and just film anything. Just make a short film. Just make short films if you can't make a feature film, you know. Just keep filming things, you know. Do little skits. Just keep filming. You know, you get better and better.
Like with anything.
You just have to
be willing to jump in and start at some point.
Exactly.
And also it really helps that he has right now, I mean, when he was doing the film, they had a very understanding boss who not only understood because he built his own company, Anthony built his own company up. He said, you have a dream. I'm going to let you go follow it.
Because so
many people in life try to put down other people's dreams. Mm-hmm. And that's just wrong. Because acting, as you know, is a very hard medium.
Very hard, very hard.
And if every actor and actress who was told don't do it, we'd have no films to watch.
Right.
Because everybody
would
have said, you know, hey, you know, oh, I can't do it. It's too hard. Mm-hmm. Thank God all those people didn't listen, just like
you. That's right.
You.
They just went out and they did it. And look at them today. Some of them made it. Some of them didn't.
Now, your parents, were they very supportive?
Oh, yes.
And your grandparents, obviously.
Oh, yeah. My mother, she always wants me to do this. She gets crazy when... Like, when I tell her I stop and I haven't done it, she's like, oh, you got to get back filming again.
My mom was like that, too. She was like, you go out there and you follow your dream. And we're lucky we have parents like that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, when I was filming The Brain Hunter, I had my father. He was part of the crew. I had him lugging wires and
that's hysterical.
And holding boom mics. And
Well, that's great. And you know what? I wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Everybody's going to look out for Brain Hunter. Where can they find out more about you? Are they union films?
This was a non-union film.
Okay, so anybody who maybe wants to be whatever, where can they find out about your films?
They can find out on Facebook at restrofilms.com.
Restro, spell it out.
R-E-S-T-R-O, films.
F-I-L-M-S.
Right.
.com.
And you can find Brain Hunter 2 on YouTube, Brain Hunter 2, New Breed.
Okay, so guys, you can check it out, see his work, support him, and I wish you the best of luck.
Stay tuned for Z Dead End.
That's coming.
We're starting to film that next month.
Okay, next month. More from Robert Restrow. This is just the beginning. More on Fran's World. We'll be back.
At Indian Point, we've helped power Westchester and New York City for about 4 decades. Recently, as part of an agreement with New York State, we are working toward an early and orderly shutdown of the facility by 2021. Until then, we'll continue safely generating about 25% of the reliable, round-the-clock electricity that powers the city and Westchester, all with virtually no greenhouse gas emissions. Safety is, as it always has been, the top priority for everyone at the plant. We will continue to keep Indian Point fully staffed, and full-time inspectors from the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission will monitor our daily operations. We'll also continue to play an important role in our community as a taxpayer and active participant in local charities. Indian Point Energy Center is still working for you, and it's our honor to continue to serve the people of New York. If you have questions about our ongoing operations, please visit safesecurevital.com.
You'd probably rather use that extra cash for that bathroom remodel, but the contaminated soil around your oil tank needs attention. Northeast Environmental is Westchester's premier provider for underground storage tank removals and environmental services. Call Northeast Environmental, 777-1930, and take care of your dirt.
We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Adventure Girl!
We're back. This is Fran Capo here on Fran's World, the host of Fran's World from Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center. The show about humor, health, happiness, and following your dreams. Produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Facelift Paintings, Reverso Associates, Wartburg, and Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Durante Rentals, Fixed Rate Power, Hightower Advisors, Westchester, Skyline Genesis Event Marketing, and Northeast Environmental. Don't forget to download the Westchester Talk Radio app on iTunes through the App Store at Westchester Talk. Don't worry, it doesn't cost you anything. Like us on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio and follow us on Instagram at Shark Creative. And also you can follow me on Facebook, FranCapo.com. And now I have my next guest with me. And as some of you know that I tore my left labrum in my shoulder and I have what they call weightlifter shoulders, which sounds good, but in honesty, it hurt a lot, and I had nothing to do with weightlifting. I met my next guest because he was my physical therapist and was able to get me out of pain and moving again. So here's his background. Now, I may pronounce his name wrong, and if I do, he'll correct me. Tom Protopapas, okay, it's Greek, is the clinical director at the JAG Physical Therapy Center in Hawthorne, New York. Tom received his doctorate of PT, which stands for physical therapy, from Touro College in Manhattan, New York. He graduated with academic excellence and was the recipient of the prestigious Maimonides Award given to the graduating student who endeavors demonstrated the highest of professional ideals. And I can tell you, this guy, Tom, when he massages your shoulder, whatever part of your body hurts, man, do you feel it? But you feel great afterwards. At that moment, you're cursing him out, but afterwards you feel fantastic. Tom attended Rutgers University, where he graduated with a Bachelor of Science in Exercise Science and Sports Studies. Tom is certified through the National Academy of Sports Medicine at he's a corrective exercise specialist and is pursuing advanced certifications in orthopedics and manual therapy. In other words, the guy knows a lot of stuff. He's at the top of his class, and if you are in pain, but there's so much more, you should go see Tom at JAG. All right, so Tom, you there?
I'm here. Hi, friend.
Hey, how are you? I say, well, that
good.
He goes,
thanks.
Hi. Okay, I know. So, All right, Tom, let's get right into it. So physical therapy covers a broad range. It's just not for people who have had surgery, but for pain relief, you know, treating injuries, getting people back to sport. Can you explain, because you have a lot of programs at JAG, can you explain the programs that you have and what people can expect when they go to physical therapy?
Sure. So when you come into physical therapy, we do a thorough evaluation, really to determine your body's area of weakness and what exactly is causing your pain. Pain is a very complicated thing. Sometimes it can come from somewhere else in the body, depending on what's going on. So if you're having knee or ankle pain, sometimes you can actually be having hip or back problems that are causing the knee or ankle pain. Or if you're having shoulder pain, you can have nexus function, something that's causing the shoulder pain where it's not actually coming from the shoulder. So a thorough evaluation is really important. After we determine the area of weakness that you have and what's going on with your body, we prepare a structured exercise program to address these specific problems for you. And then we combine that with manual therapy and modalities to address the issues and improve the healing and make you feel better.
Yeah, and,
we have
and
a lot of programs.
Right, exactly. You know, for example, I mean, I came in because my shoulder hurt, but then afterwards, you know, other parts of my body, because I was favoring, you know, that one shoulder, the other shoulder to prevent the shoulder that was injured from hurting, then the other shoulder started hurting, and it was more because I was favoring it, and then you figure out a way to work and, you know, increase different types of exercise. You don't keep doing the same thing over and over again. So what areas, see, I thought you just covered the basic areas, but you told me you cover like the whole entire body, even the jaw.
Yeah, we treat all musculoskeletal problems, the whole body. Full body from the jaw to the toes, all the way down. We can do inner ear stuff for vestibular problems with balance issues too. We really, really treat it all.
Yeah, like so, like for example, at one point I had this thing called, now I'm trying to remember the name of it, it was like VPB, it was benign vertigo, whatever, and they gave me these exercises. I felt like a crazy person walking in the street looking up, looking down, but I mean, you could treat all that type of stuff. And you also have rehab. Now, I mean, you know, obviously when people get to the hospital, but how, some people say rehab's better than just resting after surgery, and why would that be?
Well, it really depends on the surgery that you get done. Some surgeries require a period of rest afterwards, but in general, movement is key. Early movement is very important. We see people day one after rotator cuff repairs, ACL repairs, because we really need to start getting the body moving, decreasing the tightness. We want to limit muscle atrophy, you know, the wasting and the weakness that happens after surgery. We want to improve the mobility, and that that actually improves the long-term outcome. We used to think that, you know, if your back hurts, you should just lay down and rest and just lay in bed for a weekend. It'll make it better. But now we know that movement is important. Flow of blood, everything, getting the whole body going is way better than just
Yeah, which is funny because a couple of people are going, darn, I thought I could just lay down and not do anything. And then you come in and you're like, no, you got to do those 20 exercises. I remember when I went there, when he's like, oh, you only have to do that 10 times. Okay, 10 more. Okay, 10 more. I'm like, wow, this is tough. But you know what? He built up my body. It feels a lot better. Now, you have... Now, I remember at one point we were doing these laser light therapy on my shoulder. Can you explain what that is and what was the purpose of the light therapy?
Yeah, so we use a class 4 laser, which is a hot laser. So what it does is it shines a light and it increases the temperature in the area of the body that we're shining it on, which stimulates the molecular activities and cellular changes, and it increases energy production to decrease pain and improve inflammation and speed up healing.
Now, you know, like sometimes people, when they have an injury, they're not sure. Like, I know a couple of times I've come and we put either cold or hot on the injured area. What is better, or is it just depend on the person?
It really depends. Really depends on what's going on. Cold is good for decreasing inflammation, gets rid of swelling, and it kind of numbs it up so it can take away the pain a little bit. Heat is really good for muscle spasms, and it makes you feel better. A lot of people prefer the heat. So pretty much, unless it's a very, very acute injury early on, in that case, you should do ice. But for everything else, it really doesn't matter. Either one can work well.
And also, here's another thing. Now, explain to people a little bit about the direct access, which, you know, people don't know about. You don't always necessarily need to have the prescription.
Yeah, Yeah, so that's a big change. So physical therapists are now a doctorate level. We go through a doctorate level of education, so we're trying to become more autonomous practitioners. So in New York, you can see a physical therapist through direct access, which means seeing us without being a doctor first, without getting a prescription.
So if they're injured, they could just call you up?
Yeah, just call up. You can come on in. We can do a quick little evaluation, see if it's something that we can address, if it's an orthopedic injury, and then you can do 10 visits or 30 days, whatever comes first. Or we can refer you out to see a doctor. We have a very extensive list of doctors that we work with.
Now, it's cool because, I mean, on your website, it shows that you do a lot more than just a physical therapy. You guys teach CPR certification, you have golf fitness programs, and you have this thing called the Graston technique for scar tissue that reduces the need for anti-inflammatory medication. Could you explain a little bit what that is?
Yeah, so the Graston technique is a form of soft tissue treatment. It breaks up fascial adhesions through the use of a tool, a metal tool. So some patients are a little scared about it, but it's actually very effective and it's not too bad. It improves circulation, improves flexibility, and helps improve healing early on.
Oh, cool. Well, you know, Tom, you know I'm going to be in there in like another week. So, you'll be fixing me up yet again, although I'm already fixed. But, you know, I mean, you'll be giving me more exercises that make my arms stronger and stronger and stronger. So I really appreciate it. And your staff is so professional. And it's not only at the Hawthorne location. You guys have locations all around the place. So if people want to reach you, because I'm telling you, I don't know too many other people, but Tom is the best. I have gone to other people. Tom is fantastic. But if you're not in that area, you can go to other JAG centers, I guess you would call a physical therapist place. So how could people reach you or JAG Physical Therapy?
You can find us online at jagpt.com. It has all the information about all our different locations, all the different programs that we offer, and that can direct you to where you need to call. And I can be reached personally at my office at 914-631-6969.
Say that one more time.
914-631-6969.
And by the way, if you go on the website, you get to see all the beautiful faces of these people, so you can go, man, that guy looks nice. Okay. Go to that guy. And you look nice. Nice looking guy. All right, Tom, I will see you. Thank you so much. And people, I'm telling you, if you're in pain of any type, this place is fantastic. So thanks again. Well, you're welcome. And I'll see you guys next week. All right. Thanks so much. We'll be back with Fran's World. Up next, you want to free yourself and get to the next level of your career, or if you're at the top, want to know how to stay there, our next guest will take you into a no-doubt zone. Stay tuned.
Contractors, can't find the construction equipment you need?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. Durante Rentals has it all, from skid steers to cement mixers, light towers to mini excavators, generators to scissor lifts. Our equipment is always available and always well-maintained.
Are you worried about employee downtime due to equipment delivery delays?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. At Durante Rentals, on-time delivery of your construction equipment is our priority.
Is your job site located in New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. With 7 metro area locations, Durante Rentals has got you covered.
Do you want to be treated as more than just a number?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. As a family-owned business, customer service has always been Durante Rentals' number one priority.
Are you looking to save time and money on your next construction project?
Call 1-800-DURANTI. The friendly and knowledgeable staff at Durante Rentals makes renting equipment easy and affordable.
With locations in Mount Vernon, the Bronx, West Nyack, Flushing, Queens, Carmel, Elmsford, and Brewster, call Durante Rentals at 1-800-DURANTI or click DuranteRentals.com.
Durante Rentals, the most dependable name in construction equipment rentals, sales, parts, and service. Call 1-800-DURANTI today. We're back.
Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
Adventure Girl, explore your world, live it fast, and make it last.
And we're back. This is Fran Capo of Fran's World, Westchester Talk Radio, broadcasting live from City Center. And we have people walking around, and I even have my own security guard. I'm telling you, it's crazy. Okay, so the show is produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center, Faceless Painting, Reverso Associates, Wartburg and Westchester County Office of Economic Development, Durante Rentals, Fixed Rate Power, Hightower Advisors, Westchester Skyline, Genesis Event Marketing, and North East Environmental. Don't forget, people. You need to download the app, the Westchester Talk Radio app. Otherwise, how are you going to hear us? What are you, Kreskin? It's on iTunes, through the App Store, at Westchester Talk, live on Facebook at Westchester Talk Radio, and follow us on Instagram at Shaw Creative. Why Shaw Creative? Because Andrew, Shaw Creative, he's the guy that produces the show, so you want to follow him. You also want to follow me, Frank Capo, on Frank Capo. You could go to Facebook, you could go to Instagram, you'd see pictures of us, and if you were paying attention, you would have seen the live teaser at the beginning. Okay, so my next guest who is sitting right next to me, where else would she be sitting? A mile away? Of course she's sitting next to me. All right, so Dr. Caslow, also known as Dr. K, for those of you who may have trouble with, you know, eight letters, okay, is the founder of the No Doubt Zone and the go-to mentor for the top 1% entrepreneurs and experts, an innovator and disruptor. You know why? Because you don't get noticed if you're just normal. She opened up one of the first integrative health and business centers in New York City, so this woman is progressive. Dr. K says, you know what? The jig is up. I like it just for saying that. You get to choose if you live in the No Doubt Zone or not, and in the No Doubt Zone, you break free of your trances. You know, you don't want to be walking like a zombie unless you're in that other guy's movie, if you heard my first guest. To be, who wants to be there? You need to create what you want. That's why you're on the planet, folks, not to be doing what other people want. Or you can allow your inner resistance and other obstacles to hold you back, and then you live a boring life. Who wants that? Even slowly, and that will kill you and your business. Dr. K has over 35 years experience. You never know by looking at her because she looks great. She looks like she's 35. As a clinical psychotherapist, speaker, author, business consultant, and mentor specializing in working again, as we mentioned before, with the top 1%, just in case you thought I said the top 20%, the influencers, paradigm shifters, the ones who are different, the ones who want more. And she's been interviewed and featured in major media, the New York Times, ABC, NBC, New York Magazine, and of course, Fran's World. That's one that's most important. Haha. As the dozens of her articles published, and is an author of a book on adoption law. So the woman is brilliant too. And now she is here on Fran's World. Welcome.
You are so fun. I don't think anybody's ever given me an intro that's been that much fun.
Oh.
So you may be the most fastest speaker, but you're the most fun introducer ever.
Oh, thank you. I like that. See, I got a new title. Didn't even know. I have a new title. And her daughter is sitting here in the audience, very patiently taking photos of mom. Okay? Because she's also a family lady here, Dr. K. All right. So let's give a quick shout out, because we would not have met if it was not for the Love Coach and Broadway producer Robin Gorman Newman. Who's a great friend, who said, you got to get in touch with Dr. K. You'll like her immediately. And we did, because I called her up and we were an hour on the phone. And then we said, we got to do the radio show, but then we're going to do lunch. Okay, so we have our whole day planned. All right, so we clicked in right away. I want you to tell the audience the story of how you knew your calling from a very young age.
Okay, well, one of my favorite stories to share is it really goes back to when I was in second grade. And in the second grade, back in the day when they used to call kids, I hate to even say it now, retarded, horrible, horrible thing.
She's just saying what they called them back
then. That's what they did, and it was terrible. And I hated it even back then. And so there was a little girl in my class, another second grader, and the teacher used to ignore her. She kind of figured she was limited. She was limited, her intellect wasn't there, and why bother with her? Well, it got me crazy. So I was this little thing back then. I was kind of like one of those kids they called shrimp. I hate to admit it.
Well, no offense. You're still small. Okay. So am I.
So,
okay.
So I went to this teacher, which is kind of crazy because this was also back in the day when they used to hit kids. And they used to hit, yeah, they used to take the boys especially, put them over the teacher's knee and paddle them.
Was this a Catholic school?
No.
This right, public school?
Public school.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Public school.
Glad
and
I didn't go to that school.
Really. In fact, many years later, I actually, to kind of take this story aside for a second, was subbing in a school where they told me that I could come back. They really wanted me to come back, but I'd have to hit the kids. This was what they used to call a ghetto school.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I said, I think I'm leaving. I love the kids, but
it
was a long time ago.
Smacking them around. Yeah.
No. But anyway, back in the second grade, there was this teacher, and she used to hit the kids. And I said, this was one time I was really glad I was a girl, because when I opened my mouth to her, her eyes went crazy. She looked at me like she couldn't believe what I said, and I think I would have been paddled for sure if I was a boy. So I said to her, you can't do this. This is not okay. You cannot just ignore this little girl. And she said to me, do you think you could do better? And I said, sure, absolutely. She said, well, then she's yours. From this day on, she is your responsibility. So you do your work, and as soon as you're done, as soon as you're done, you start working with her. And so I did, and she did great, and they started referring me other kids in the school.
And how old were you?
I was in second grade.
Second grade?
Second grade.
You're already doing social, you're already helping
kids. I was doing it, and that really progressed. It was kind of funny because it really was that mix of what I do now. It was the beginning of being a therapist, an educator, and also being an entrepreneur, because I leveraged it pretty quick into a paying private practice.
So at the age of 7, you got a little booth like Lucy outside the school. Yeah,
it took a little longer, but basically that was the beginning. And really my whole life, it was like I hated when people were limited. I hated if somebody tried to limit me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated if other people were limited by others or limited themselves.
So you wanted to empower them to know you did not have to be limited.
In fact, something you would have loved, I used to do workshops called Get What You Want When the World Says No.
Yes, you're right. I would have loved that because I would have been like, I'm sorry, you say no, go stand in that corner while I go do what I need to do.
I used to say my motto was, help me, support me, or stay out of my way.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell me it can't be done.
Right.
Because I just won't go there.
You know what? And that's the thing that always amazes me, because people go, can't be done. And then you're like, oh, there goes the rocket ship. Oh, can't be done. Oh, there's the guy who broke the 4-minute mile.
Exactly. You know, I used to say, watch me. So when somebody said that to me, it was like, oh, really? Okay, watch me.
Challenge. Love it. So we're going to fast forward here. It led you to become this, you were saying that you quickly learned how to make money at it, but that's not also the reason you did it. You did it because this really was your passion. So what led you to become one of the first integrative health and business centers in New York City?
So one is I like to do things that are different. I like to kind of bust things up, and especially if I see they're not working. And my own experience, you know, we do what we do because of our experience. And so I was one of those kids. I heard you ask in the segment before, did your parents support you?
Yes. Did they?
No.
No.
They didn't. So my reaction could have been to give up, but being who I was,
that wasn't happening.
No, my reaction was to show them and to really do everything and to really stop people from being stopped. My parents really wanted me to hold back.
Were they scared that people were going to come, like, I don't know, what were they scared of?
Rocking the boat.
Were they very conservative?
No, they were not very conservative, but they were kind of middle-class suburban family. My mother was, I was the oldest girl. She was the oldest girl. My grandmother was the oldest. And, kind of like that.
So set the example.
So it was like, you know, it's all about family, which it still is for me.
Right.
And my father was he actually did something kind of fun. My mother was, she couldn't stand my being out there in my big mouth, right?
Yeah.
Any of that kind of stuff. She was a don't rock the boat kind of person. And whenever I said I could do something or would stand up for myself or my friends or other people, she would just get kind of shaky. But my father was proud of it as long as I didn't stand up to him.
Huh. Okay, so he wanted the respect from him, but he would support you.
But they still wanted me to have a certain limit. It was still a time that women were supposed to go so far. Teaching was a really good profession for women.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And
yeah.
They wanted you to be secure. They wanted you to be taken care of. And I think that's in the psyche of a lot of women that are boomers. Still, I think it's in the. I actually think it's in the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's in the DNA. So I had a history that was kind of challenging. One is I had parents who did not support me, and I was kind of who I was from a very early age. I was out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had a lot of health challenges from a very early age.
Do you mind talking about that?
It's fine because it really is part of what brought me.
Mm-hmm.
So from very severe allergies to problems that from a drug that my mother took when she was pregnant, I've had a lifetime of being ill and being told I was going to die.
That's horrible, because I always feel like when doctors say that first of all, then they're not God, so they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But second of all, you should never tell somebody that. Don't operate from a point of fear. Operate from a point of hope.
Well, the interesting thing was you asked how I came to do what I did.
Yeah.
And so the good thing for me, because I could say that was horrible, but it is what it is.
No, because that made you stronger.
It made me stronger, and it made me say,
I'm going to show you.
Right. I'm not dying. And I'm going to figure out how to get well. And so it made me really pioneer and innovate and look for things that would help me. And one of the ways I've always gotten through hard times is to say, how will this grow me and how will this help others to grow?
Now, back then, now holistic is, you know, you could find it all mm-hmm. over the place. And even still, there are Western doctors, and nothing against them, but they're, you know, like, oh, that's hocus pocus type stuff. So where did you find out about these things?
You know, I'm a researcher.
Okay.
I'm a researcher. I'm always looking for what's different, for what's new, for what's out there. And I was not well, and I was really determined. I had a lot of things I had to do in this world.
Right.
So I figured stuff out. And in the process, created something that was going to make a difference for others. So in terms of the health, I created an integrative approach to health that I teach, that I do with clients and patients
still.
I still have a clinical practice. But mm-hmm. I also found that it was kind of funny. I had patients who came to me that were doctors, and they came to me because they were depressed, because they couldn't build their businesses. They couldn't build their practice.
See, people think that people at the top have no problems, and they don't understand that they have the same problems, just on a different level.
And in fact, it's very interesting, because you said before, helping people to stay where they are, to grow or to stay. Well, one of the things that's interesting is that 1%, there's a lot of people in that 1% that want more.
Still want more,
and it really drives them crazy, and they don't know how to break through, because everything that got them to the success level that they're at now is holding them. And it's extra tricky because they go to a coach, for example, or a mentor, and they're so good at what they do. And I don't mean their actual profession,
right,
but the way that they interact with themselves and other people, that instead of the coach helping them to change, they get the coach or the mentor to see the world and see their problems the way they do.
But
nobody knows it, because they make a little bit of change and everybody thinks, oh, we made a little bit of change. It takes time. They don't realize we're all walking around in trances. And what actually happens is that they bring the coach or the mentor into their trance. And so when people come to me, I know that whatever problem they're presenting is almost never the transformative issue.
That's their surface thing
It's true.
Right.
It's true. They need help with it. But when you change that, then you go on to the next problem.
Right.
And the next one, and the next one. So what happens is they're so really skilled. They're protecting what I call the tender soft spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a lot to lose. The more successful you are, the more you have to lose.
Right, you don't want to feel
you
like...
You don't want to lose your business. You don't want to... You're more afraid of being different. You kind of know you need to be different, but you're scared of being different. So you hold it in place. And so it makes it trickier to work with them, to get them to feel the true, that no-doubt zone, that place
because
where they've got the real skill and the internal fortitude that they can change, that they can grow.
So explain, we've said the name of it, the no-doubt zone. Explain a little, what is the no-doubt zone?
Okay, no-doubt zone is not a place, first of all, where you have no doubts.
Right.
Because that doesn't happen. But it's the place where you don't operate from doubt. It's the place where your doubt, your fears, and it's not only fears, it's your grief, it's your anger. You don't let emotions that people usually call negative, mm-hmm. you don't let them stop you. You use them for fuel.
Right, like fear it, but do it anyway.
Fear it, but understand, there's a message in the fear.
Right.
So get the message, use the information. Mm-hmm. I always say pay attention. When people say ignore your fear, No. Always pay attention.
Because your fear is telling you
something.
It's
telling you something. Yeah. Maybe you shouldn't go into your house. Maybe you're getting a feeling and there's somebody in there. Or maybe you just need to know something. You need to shift. So
how is fear different than your gut feeling?
Okay, that's a great question. So another aspect in the no-doubt zone. So let me give you a couple of them, and one of them relates to that. In the no-doubt zone, you have true clarity.
Mm-hmm.
You have true connection. You're connected with yourself, with God, whoever you hold at source, your community, your business, your friends, your family. It's a place of connection, commitment, and consistent, inspired, or aligned action.
Mm-hmm.
So the way you know the difference between just a gut feeling and a gut feeling that you really need to act on is by getting clear. The more you learn to be clear,
mm-hmm.
the more you learn to discern whether something is
a fleeting thought, or if it's really just
a piece of information, or whether, because your gut, you want to listen to your gut, but then it's a matter, just because you have a feeling doesn't mean you act on it. So
mm-hmm.
you pay attention to it, and when you're clear, you will know how to take that inspired action.
Hmm.
But it's practice. This is not something that you wake up one day.
There are
things you can do 1, 2, 3, and I'd like to actually share later some of that with our audience.
But while we're on that now, share some of those 1, 2, 3 things.
Okay, well, there's a big 1, 2, 3 thing. Okay, so if you were to say to me, which I figured you probably would, like, okay, these are my audience, I really care about them. Like, what can they do to get into this zone? Because this is really the zone where you become who you want to be to create what you want.
Okay.
It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter whether you're top 1%. And the top 1% is not only about money.
No, and people don't realize that. Okay. I mean, a Mother Teresa was the top 1%, right. And it wasn't about money.
Exactly. It's about impact. And one of the things that is clear, too, it's about people who are determined. Mm-hmm. They might not be there yet, but they're on their way,
right,
to creating that. So, you know, it's that. So if you were to say, how do you get into the no-doubt zone? How do you make these shifts? There's a couple of things. There's three big things, if I can give those to the audience right now.
My audience would love that.
Okay. So the first one is to start to notice. Become aware of when you are either, I call it going weak. Your energy kind of gets weak. Or you can feel you're holding yourself back. You're squelching yourself. There's a disconnect. Start to feel. You actually trance out.
So do you suggest that when that happens, people write down, okay, this happened and I felt this? Or how do they record so they remember?
Well, I think they can do that later. But what's fun is that you can make a shift on the spot.
Okay.
Okay. And so if people want to, I know you're going to give the link to my website later. There's something there under resources called Caslow Anchor.
Okay.
And that will show you how to literally make a shift on the spot, without all of the deeper work, without doing writing it down, all of those things are important.
Now,
if you
people,
wanna,
this is good if you're, listen carefully, because every single person has fears, has doubts, has wants to get to the quote-unquote next.
Has grief,
yeah. And
anger.
If you could do something that immediately will shift you, do a paradigm shift or an inner shift, this is key.
But the jig is up. You've got to be willing to do it.
Right. You can no excuses.
Okay, you got to know.
You're not a victim mentality.
Right. So if you don't do it, which you may choose sometimes. You may say, I want to be mad, or I just don't want to feel better right now. You've got to know that's your choice. And the fun thing is that once you make that choice consciously and accept that it really is up to you, you won't stay there so long.
Right.
So first thing is to look at that. Now, this isn't the whole thing that's going to make you live every day in the no-doubt zone, but this will give you power that you have. Actually, it's a way to really take back power that you have that you've kind of given away. You've disconnected and tranced out.
And you're saying, oh, it's because of the other person, I can't do this. And now you're saying, wait a minute, I can do this.
In fact, until you say that I am 100% responsible.
For everything.
Now, people say to me, well, what about in a relationship? I say, everybody's 100% responsible.
Exactly.
No 50-50.
Right.
It's 100-100. With your kids, with your team members, your employees, your significant other, whatever it is, everybody is 100%, 100%. And they say, but they won't take responsibility.
Don't worry about them.
That's their problem. Your problem is that you take, or your responsibility is that you take responsibility. So that's one thing, to use the Caslow Anchor, to notice. Start to notice. Don't judge it. Okay, don't judge, oh, I'm doing it again. No, just notice when you're starting to hold back, to disconnect, to go into trance, to go into a story. Two other things. Next one. You'll hear people say all the time, what are you willing to die for? I heard somebody very profound the other day say, what are you willing to die for? And then turn it around and live for it. Well, I have a different spin on it.
Yeah.
Okay. My spin is what are you willing to live for?
Yeah.
Because, well, it's not as easy as it sounds, and I'll tell you why. When you say to someone, what are you willing to die for? They actually can answer it pretty easily. If they're a parent, they'd say, I'd get in front of like a truck for my kids. Or if it's a teacher, I would, you know, protect my kids. That's not so hard, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say to people, what are you willing to stay in the game, to feel the pain, to not disconnect, to really, you know, take that responsibility and move through it instead of shutting down and slowly killing yourself, that is much harder for people to answer. Okay, it's not so quick as people think.
That's
interesting. I've been asking people, a lot of people I question, what are you willing to live for?
Which is actually, when you think about it, the same, a lot of times it might even be the same answer, but when people hear it said in the other one, oh, I died for my kid, well, I'm willing to live for my kid, it has a different
very
feeling.
Very different, because if you die for your kid, you're done. But if you live for your kid, there's a lot of pain.
Right. Okay.
And you deal with life. Okay, last thing, a question. Always ask this question. Is this thought? Is this action, is this belief bringing me closer or further to who I need to be to do what I want to create?
So this is an internal question that you would ask yourself.
And you ask it like regularly. It becomes a habit. It's actually a habit. So you do it throughout the day, like in the beginning, maybe do it twice a day. But eventually you start, when you like thinking about, should I do this? The question is, will this bring me closer or further to who I need to be to create what I want to have, do, and be in my life?
Now, I know you do You do private and group mentoring, and you also do fireside chats, and you also have a VIP list with the No Doubt Zone programs. And this is just a tip of the iceberg so that you guys can get an understanding of the way that she delves into, dealing with people. Obviously, you have to have the confidence to go up to people who are top 1% and say, hey, I can solve your problem. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because you see it differently than the way that they are coming
and
to you.
And people can create it. And people can create that. It's not bravado. We can't talk about it on this show, but when people say fake it till you make it, no.
No.
Because people know you're fake.
Faking
and
it.
You know you're fake.
And that's always why I climbed Kilimanjaro. People say, oh, you can make it to the top of the mountain. I go, no, I'm making it to the top of the mountain because then I can tell people that I climb the mountain,
exactly.
You can climb the mountain. Where can people get in touch with you if they want to go to your website? That's Dr. Kazlow, KAZLOW.com. And it's Dr. DR, not spelled out. DRKAZLOW.com. And is that the best place?
That's the best place. They can also email me.
Okay.
They can get on my list. Okay, that's the first step. Then if you've got a question, reach out. Okay, I'm available.
Say you heard her on Fran's World.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Put that in the subject. And then it's drk@drkazlow.com.
Again, DR, not spelled out.
And if you can't find it, or you don't remember, you don't drive it in your car, and you don't have a pen, if you Google the No Doubt Zone, if you do Google
No Doubt,
you're going to find me.
It's trademarked, right?
It's right there, and
TM,
you'll find it.
So that means you'll find it. You're not going to go to some other No Doubt Zone and all of a sudden see a clothing store.
It's Gwen Stefani has No Doubt Zone and me.
Yeah.
So it's not her. Go to me.
Right. Okay. So we got that. Thank you so much. That was so interesting. And, you know, guys, everybody faces challenges. And if you could have, everybody's got a coach in some way, whether it's your mother, your whatever, a professional. But now you have somebody who could actually help you in a very, I don't want to say simple, but she could break it down for you that gets you into a place that you want to be and clarify everything for you. I suggest you check out DRKAZLOW, drkazlow.com.
And we're coming out with some programs now to help more people. So not just that 1%, not just my private mentoring or the group mentoring, but there are going to be these fireside chats where people can come, they'll be interactive, they can come, and it will really reach a lot of people.
Which is good, because when you sometimes hear other people having a situation or a challenge,
mm-hmm.
then all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, I'm not the only one. They opened
exactly.
up, I'll open up. Yeah,
exactly.
So just like we did on the show.
So I have to say thank you. This has been so much fun.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. See what a one-hour conversation could lead to. But anyway, thank you so much for coming on the show. And that pretty much wraps up Fran's World. I want to remind you guys that I'm going to be at Taramina's, the March Madness All Headliner in the show, which is Saturday, March 24th at Taramina's Restaurant, which is 59 Hudson Avenue in Peekskill, New York, on Saturday, March 24th. Go to their website, Taramina's, and you can make reservations or call 914-739-4007. And Fran's World is live the last Friday of every month. So people just look at a calendar. You look for the last Friday. You go, oh, Fran's World, 1 o'clock, City Center. Please share the word. And I want to thank, of course, Andrew, our producer, Jim Clearfield. Did I say that right, Jim? All right. Oh, he's looking at me going, how do you not know my last name? Because I always call him Jim. And my fantastic engineer here, Matt, who just laughs and gives me signals throughout the whole show. And Matt's last name is Kayan. Is that right? Okay, there you go. I didn't say he was the best pronouncer of things. Anyway, until next time, this is Fran Capo on Fran's World. Everyone has a special talent inside. Find out what it is and let it shine.
Shark Creative, get sold.
Thank you, listener. Yes, Shark Creative is the company you think of for on-hold messages. If you want to hear how it helps, you can call Mercedes-Benz of New Rochelle, Durante Rentals, Michael Labriola, Inc., Oak Ridge Staffing, Emma's Ale House, Northeast Environmental, or just go to sharkcreative.com and listen there. Meanwhile, we've expanded our services as your all-audio resource. On-hold messages, of course, production and placement of radio campaigns on the Pete and others too. And now we also have our very very own internet radio station, Westchester Talk Radio. Look for us on Facebook at Westchester Talk. Have us come out to your next event, help you capture audio from your sponsors, associates, friends. Bite into that first impression with Shark Creative. Everything audio. It just sounds better. Shark.